right, let's open the Word of God. Job chapter 1, please. Let's open the Word of God. Job chapter 1. I need to see all of seminary students right after class. Bryan College Station finally got everything going, got a hall rented and all ready to get things going, so the seminary students could give me a few minutes after class. I'd appreciate it very much. I'd like you to add to your prayer list, please remember Barbara and Ben and her mother at this time, Bill Jones and his family, his mother, also Cliff Roden. Some of you may know Cliff here, Cliff and Suzanne. Cliff came down with a severe back problems, and they found spurs where they weren't even looking in his spinal cord, and he's in great pain, so please be in prayer for Cliff. Several months ago, I told you about the pastor in Florida who comes to the Tallahassee Conference. He's in Tallahassee, and that he had lost his shirt, and he called. We had him, in fact, the last two nights we talked, and his wife told him she wanted a divorce Monday. So this man is under some very heavy circumstances of life. He lost his church a few months ago, and now his wife also says she wants a divorce. So please be in prayer for Greg. You need to be in prayer, not just when these pastors are having problems. They probably all have been to various degrees, but not just when we hear about some strong catastrophe such as some of these things, but at all times. And because it affects not only if Satan can move in on a pastor, he is able to affect, therefore, an entire congregation. And it's not, please understand that it is not that that individual, that pastor, is more important than any one individual, not by any means. Don't ever get that type of thinking. But if Satan can attack and pull him down, I think you can understand that it is going to affect an entire congregation also. So please be in prayer in that regard. This is first, and I just have a little volume, please. I'd like to read to you. I'm going to do this occasionally. I hesitated in doing it, but various men on the board and various people gave me another perspective on it. I kind of stayed away from it for some time. We get a lot of letters, and sometimes the State Department will share some of them with me. I get some. And every now and then, I think I'll read you some of the letters, letter here and there. This one is, names are unimportant. This one is from Florida. I don't know where Satellite Beach is, but Satellite Beach, Florida. Dear Mr. Maddox, I want to write a letter to you to thank you and encourage you in your teaching of the last month, namely the spirit-filled life, boasting in weakness, and 2 Corinthians. Though I have been listening to tapes in the so-called doctrinal movement for many years, always positive to God, to the best of my understanding, yet large areas of suffering in my life just never made sense. Yet I was always instructed to just use the doctrine in your soul to handle it. What I was doing, I was using the doctrine all right, but as I see it now, I was trying to apply the doctrine from the flesh a great part of the time. Things were not coming clear in my circumstances. Things even got worse, not better, and I did begin to lose heart. Term that we studied in 2 Corinthians 5. Geographical location change, which I had faithfully committed to the Lord. I was so afraid of making a mistake here. I have a husband, totally not interested in spiritual things. Yet I knew the doctrine that I was to follow him anyway. The Lord really heard my plea. Upon arriving, I fell off my bicycle and broke my leg. I am an athletic and healthy senior citizen. the provision of God, the provision that God laid upon me for 2 months here in Satellite Beach, Florida, a friend brought me all these tapes by you. The tapes blew my mind. I never really understood Job 28, and I do now, as I do now, concerning the angelic conflict. The most wonderful thing of all is your teaching on the leading of the Holy Spirit, the very personal, sensitive, individual leading for each one of us. I feel as though I have been set free again, just as I did when I first was saved 26 years ago. I am at peace, and I will never be the same again after listening to this series. Those 2 months in bed were the most valuable in my life since salvation. I was gradually losing hope. Doctrine just didn't seem to work. And I prayed, what do I do now? I just hung on, still trusting, and he came to my rescue with your tapes. Keep on teaching like you are. I feel so sorry for so many believers that mean to be right and are so discouraged in their life in Christ. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. A few moments in silent prayer. Give us the opportunity to make grace recovery if necessary, to rely on the Holy Spirit for the understanding of the Word of God. Let us pray. There are so many things, Heavenly Father, occurring even right now in the invisible warfare that we have no idea, not even the slightest understanding of those things. And yet, Heavenly Father, these things that are going on affect every aspect of our lives. It affects us individually in our marriages, in our homes and work, our single life and married life. It certainly affects the assembling of the local church here. So, Father, it is so important that we understand our adversary, Satan, and that we understand your power, that we understand your provision. And now, Father, we dedicate these next few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we will accurately understand the passage before us, be able to extract from these things, Heavenly Father, what happened to this one individual, and how this lays the groundwork of what will happen to individuals throughout all history, including the very day in which we live. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the first scene in Job chapter 1, we started, was on earth. And then we moved to the throne of God, and we saw a discussion between Satan and God that is going to change the man Job, or the believer Job's life, and will affect him, change his life forever, for the rest of his life on earth. And God has granted to Satan now the right, the privilege, the authority to come down and to take away from Job everything that Job has. Now, again, just so we're warmed into this thing correctly, there are so many things involved in relationships. There is the relationship between God and Satan. There is a relationship between Satan and you and God, or God and you, however you want to look at it. But our relationship with God, our relationship with Satan, Satan's relationship with God. This is going on all the time in every aspect of your life. This is why you personally were left on earth after you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But not only does it stop there, it goes to the seen world. Deals with your relationship, well, first of all, the unseen, your relationship with angels, fallen angels and elect angels. Don't have time right now in this study, but there are so many verses that deal with the angelic forces. There's a passage in the Old Testament that I've discovered where an angel is talking and then says, I have got to leave now and go engage in the war that is going on. He had to leave conversation on earth to go into a battle in the unseen realm, which leads some understanding into what is going on up there even right now. There is so much involved to be about you and the unseen world. Fallen angels, we know of their working against us, powers and principalities and powers of darkness that work against our spiritual life, work against the Christ-centered life. We know the function of the elect angels to protect and to function as messengers and servants of God as far as the human race is concerned. So there's a great deal between each one of you. You may not feel that important, teenagers, low-income job, high-income job, housewife, whatever you do, you may not feel I'm all that important. But I hope that this teaching and this study of Job has caused you to understand there is no one that is too insignificant for Satan to zero in on. There's no one too insignificant for God to be aware of and to test and to advance you in your relationship with him and with his son. Then you have your relationship with the seen world. And the seen world involves both unbelievers who are watching and observing, listening and hearing, and the born-again believers who are watching, learning, and fearing. And you must be aware of this. There are constantly, we're going to see this in how Job answers this first onslaught by Satan against his life. Job cares very much what other people are going to do and what they're going to think about what has happened to his life. And we're going to see some things as we go through the things that I wasn't even aware of when we entered it on why God allows Satan to call your name. The things that are going on, but even in the seen world, where other people are going to hear, observe, and know about your catastrophe, your suffering. Lots of people to know. They're going to observe. They're going to watch. They're going to pray. They're going to just keep their eye focused. A few of you even here. A few of you are not just going to let go by what I said about this pastor in Florida. You're going to want to keep an eye on that. You probably won't come up and ask all the time, but I dare say one or two of you rather interested in a pastor who loses his church and then his wife says and he wants a divorce. And then there are circumstances with Tom Kirk and his wife and two children. All the things that are going there, you'd be surprised the number of believers and unbelievers that are watching all of these things that go on. And they're just learning about our God, how we deal with our God, how we're going to relate to our God, even in the most adverse of circumstances. You'd be shocked if I told you the horrible way born-again believers are dealing, for an example, with Charlotte Kirk, Tom Kirk's wife. I mean, I would just be shocked if anyone from this church were to say to that dear woman that if you really had faith, Tom would be healed and rise up from his brain, destruction of his brain, and move on, to attack her as though it's her fault. It just amazes me. But this is one of the things that the attack by Satan, testings by God, whichever it may be, pull out of other born-again believers, how you relate to another believer's catastrophe, to another believer's suffering, whether it's their fault or not, but specifically if it is not their fault. Then come to your relationship with unbelievers, your relationship with believers, when Satan's called your name. I hope that you appreciate there is so much involved in the angelic conflict, in the seen world. How many people watch when you're prospered? How many people watch when you suffer? Then you have your relationship with yourself and all of this. What's going on inside of you? And your own, as we're studying in James, your own faith, the development of the perseverance of faith. So there's so many things that are going on. Now the scene shifts. In verses 13 through 22, the scene shifts from heaven back to earth. We're going to see from chapter 1, verse 1, to the end of this chapter, a before and after of Job. Before, unbelievably prosperous, so faithful to the Lord, and then at the end, so attacked and under such turmoil in his soul. So let's begin tonight with some points of introduction into this study of verses 13 to 22, which we will not spend more than tonight and maybe a little bit of tomorrow night on. I'm not going to dwell on it. These are the things that Satan is going to do when he calls your name, and he does it in so many different ways. All right, let's note some things. One, in conflict. In conflict here, the focus now is entirely on Job. The focus is on Job. When Satan calls your name, the focus is on you. And I'm going to say it again. I'm redundant with purpose. You may think you're not important enough for that to happen to you. But remember our scripture reading, and I just picked one, there is no one insignificant. There is no one too unimportant, so unimportant to either Satan or God. If you are living the Christ-centered life and desiring an intimate relationship with Christ, a real relationship with Christ, Satan is going to attack. If you are in servitude to God, in the manifestation of your life, wherever you may be, you are worthy to have your name called. And then what happens is, all attention now is directed. This will be the surface of the earth, and here is Job, wherever his hometown is. We don't know for sure where it is, somewhere in the Arabian states. But here is Job, and now all attention from God and Satan and all of the angels, everyone's eyes are focused right now on Job. Now, please be aware, God is omniscient and omnipresent, and so don't think, well, what about all those other believers? Kind of like if all the police are down handling a bank robber, well, who's going to take care when my house gets broken into? Well, God certainly is aware of all the others, and Satan has demons also functioning. So let's just keep it in perspective. But as far as the drama of history right now, and Satan himself personally is zeroing in on this believer. He's not a priest. He's not a prophet. He is nothing special in that regard. He's an ordinary believer who has an intense love for the Messiah. So all the attention is now focused on the man Job. Continuing point one, the emphasis is not on the disasters themselves. And I point this out for your understanding when you're in it, and then for your understanding when others are in it that you're around. Sometimes disasters are the issue, and they are designed to get our attention, like the 10 plagues. Sometimes you can look at the disasters and things going on and say, something's trying to get my attention here. There's something going on spiritually with this going on. I'm aware of that, and I can know that. This is a warning to me. And so sometimes the disaster in itself is important, but not here. The disasters are not important here. The plagues were important, but not in this case. And the issue is on Job. And that's why in just a very short time, from verses 13 through verse 20, and in a span, let's just so we can communicate, this is not dogma, in a span of 30 minutes, something like that, in a span of 30 minutes or less, this man's whole life is going to change. We're not going to have time to go in and dissect, well, here's where he was wrong in this area, and here's where he was wrong. The disasters are not the issue. Sometimes in your life, don't sit and meditate on the disaster. Don't sit and think and overthink on it. Generally speaking, if the disaster, if the suffering is an issue, you'll know it. You'll have enough doctrine, and especially if you will rely on the Holy Spirit, this isn't any accident that this happened. This is a warning to me to get this area of my life straightened out, and straightened out now. So we have those kind of warning things. And if we're smart, wise, we will immediately move into the leading of the Holy Spirit and get going in that in a correct direction. But here, the disasters are not the issue. Job is a total issue here. What is Job going to do?
Now remember the issue. Remember the issue. Does Job love the Lord for nothing? In other words, Satan is saying he only loves you because you give him things. Is it possible to love? Is it possible to love God? Is it possible to love the Lord without there being the gain? In other words, we're not motivated to love because we're going to get something in return. And then I'll even put it into a sub-paragraph for you. Is it possible to love in just a human realm without human gain? All right, let's go to point two. Here the issue is not the disaster. The issue is not the disaster, not on the disasters, except on how rapidly they occurred. Except on how rapidly they occurred. The issue is on the man. When these kind of things happen, you can sit back and go, whoa, wait a minute. It is not. What's going on in my life has really, it isn't the individual disaster. These things are happening too quick. They're unrelated. So it's not the disaster. What's going on is something far more important than the disaster. So, in point two, the issue here is, as far as the disasters are concerned, they're the issue only in how rapidly they occur. Now, the principle under point two is God, the source of all blessings, more important to Job than the blessings. Is God more important to Job than the blessings, the prosperity, the details of life, the wealth? And let's bring it down to us. Is God, is Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, more important to you, more important to me than the details of life? You might just get to find out. Now, we all have an assumption. We all assume. We have a conception. We conceive in our mind what is more important. And we would like, I think most of us would like to say, by all means, Christ is more important than the details of life. But then when things start happening, we start really finding out what is important in our life. So is God more important than the blessings? And this is one of those realities that believers often might have to face. And it's interesting how to a born-again believer, a Christian, to understand, it'd be you and I here, how you and I, we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We develop a relationship with Him. And please remember, I call this the Christ-centered life, not the Christian way of life. It's not so much a way of life as it is a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. So as we develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then if details start coming our way, and we roam into some wealth and details of life, prosperity, whatever way it may be, what often happens, sometimes without us even realizing it, our eyes, our emphasis, start subtly shifting. And this happens. Don't think that you're above it. Don't think that you're above it. This can happen this happens to so many believers. They start prospering in their life, and their view, their time, their emphasis does start shifting away from the Word of God, from assembling with believers, from a relationship with Christ, from serving Christ, from performing the will of God. They start moving away from it. And then when the disaster occurs, reality sets in as to their soul. All right? And by the way, that's what happened to an entire local church. Sometimes I like to point out, and I'm going to end this study with an entire local church, but sometimes I like to bring things where they are in the Scriptures to the local church, because that's what we are here assembled together. This is what happened to the great church of Ephesus. They got so busy, they left behind a personal relationship with Christ. They became so functional in their operation that they had left behind an impact relationship with the Lord. Point three, the challenge of the test, and here the test is when Satan calls your name, The challenge of the test is to continue to trust God, to continue to be loyal to Him. And remember that the spiritual word for loyalty, see, we have the word loyalty in our dictionary and in our own life, how we're loyal and loyalty. Well, the spiritual word for loyalty is faith, or trust, if you please. To have faith or to continue to trust, that is our loyalty. Our loyalty is demonstrated by our continuation to trust Him no matter what's going on. This is what loyalty is. No matter what's going on, I'm going to stay here. That's a loyal person. So here we have loyalty, and in the spiritual realm, that loyalty is our faith or our trusting God. No matter how difficult, this gets under the perseverance that we studied in the endurance of your faith. Enduring, standing there, continuing to trust God, not running away, but continuing to trust God no matter how difficult the suffering. And no matter, and you're taking notes, this is an important word, no matter how unexplainable the suffering may be. This is the intensity of when Satan calls your name. I don't understand. There is no explanation. It is unexplainable what is happening in my life. Now, when things happen because I sin, as Peter says, we can, and we're disciplined, we suffer, and we bear up under it. You don't get applauded for that. You don't get applauded because you bore up under suffering for discipline. You don't get applauded. Nobody's going to come up and tell you how great you are. You malfunction in the plan of God, you receive some discipline, and you move on. Now, it's a tragedy if you decide to move out and become arrogant and move away from it. But if you will adjust and use a beautiful word that's in the Word of God in the New Testament, metanoia, you repent, which is what Christ commanded the church of Ephesus to do, and get into the spirit-filled life, get back into the momentum of Bible doctrine in the soul, get into these things, then you move on. But we're talking about unexplainable suffering. We're talking about Job just going along, not knowing there's a conversation going on between God and Satan, and God has just given Satan permission to unload on him. And Satan knows how to do it. So, under point three, no matter how unexplainable the suffering or the cause of the suffering, and it's very tough, and I'm not just up here preaching, sometimes people, well, he doesn't really know what it's like to have to go through that, to be a husband. And responsible for a wife and children and lose your job or have this happen or have that happen. Doesn't know what it's like to be a woman married to someone who doesn't love the Word of God and abuses and neglects and on and on and on. Let me tell you something. You're so wrong because I understand it more than you'll ever think I do. And that's why I teach what I teach. And I understand it through the truthfulness of this Word. I don't understand it subjectively. I understand it spiritually. And so, yes, I do. And that's why this study, that's why the spiritual life, because I do understand it. I may not go through what you go through, but I'm put through mine, you're put through yours. But I want you to appreciate the fact, when Satan calls your name and these things happen, there is no explanation. And we first thing we generally would try to do, which is so wrong, but we generally will try, now, what did I do wrong to deserve this? And we're going to talk about that later. But this is one thing that we normally do. Job isn't going to do that. And I don't want you to do that. But this is what we're prone to do when we have marital problems. Let's make it to the point of where we can talk about it. Our spouse has an affair. We immediately, what's wrong with me? Am I a failure in the bedroom? Am I a failure in the marriage? Am I a failure in this? Well, what you have to realize is, a lot of times, absolutely not. They are the one failing in their spiritual. It's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. Now, that doesn't mean once in a while, sometimes it isn't. But it is the persons involved. I'm not up here, I'm not going to cover all my bases. What I am going to cover is that this is a spiritual problem. It has to be identified as a spiritual problem. so then we will go correctly to the correct place for the solution. If you identify the problem in the wrong place, then you're not going to have it fixed. So it's so important to understand these things. So the challenge of the test now is to continue to trust God, loyalty in trusting God, loving God, having faith in God, no matter how difficult the suffering, no matter how unexplainable the suffering may be, but to continue to trust Him, no matter how much it hurts, the hurt in your soul, but to continue to trust. Point four, the test is to continue to trust God, to continue to love Him when there is no reason, no human reason to love or trust Him. There is no human reason for loving or trusting Him. You've just been moved into a new realm of spiritual conflict. When there is no reason for your continuing to trust, continuing to love, you've just been moved into a new realm of the spiritual conflict. Point five, Job had it all. Job had wealth, he had health, he had family, he had influence, he had social life. And in the period of a part of one day, yeah, that song, What a Difference a Day Makes, Job, what a difference 30 minutes can make. Forget a day. What a difference 30 minutes can make. So Job had everything, and in a very brief period of time, he is going to lose everything, absolutely everything that he possessed except, and that he had as far as his family, except his wife, who will charge him to curse God and die. Now, I think ladies have gotten a bum rap on that, and a lot of things have been done with the fact that Job's wife was left there to nagging and telling him to curse God. I don't want to emphasize the fact that his wife was the one that did it so much that just a spouse, anyone close, just someone close to you. That's the point here. Now, we could talk about, if we were studying marriage, go here and work on it a little bit. But I don't want to emphasize the fact and give a wrong idea here, well, it's his wife that God left him to tell him to curse God. To be a spouse, to be anyone you love, close friend, whatever it may be, who in the midst of your adverse suffering comes to you and is your enemy. And they're believers in most cases. And they oppose you are continuing to be loyal to God. So you have to remember, and she is in our study, that she's gotten such a bad rap. I just want you to remember that all of this affects her too. And she is not ready for all of this. Job is. Job is. But you just appreciate when you start knocking Job's wife and really coming down on her. All of this affects her. I don't know if she married into his wealth or they started growing together with it. We don't know. It's not an issue. But everything that's going on, the loss of everything, these are her children. These are her sons. These are her daughters. So all of this is affecting her, and we get a feel of how she's going to handle it. So you have to remember, so many things are going on when Satan calls your name. Now, Job's been protected. But also remember, that means Job's wife has been protected, Job's children have been protected, all of this has been protected. But right now, Job's the name that has been called. Point six. When you are under this kind of suffering, when Satan has called your name, it doesn't really matter, though, whether it's of Satan or of God. It is a test of your faith. It is a test of your love. Now, Satan will cause us to sin. That's how he's going to, how he will often bring it down. But I want you to know that God, if I wanted to study this for a long series, because this is what scholars do, it would show you each one of the disasters, how God did this himself to the nation of Israel at various times. The Sabaeans will come in, the Chaldeans come in. The Egyptians come in. Nature is going to destroy Job's property. Nature had its effect in the discipline of Israel. So I want you to appreciate. Now, sometimes we can tell when Satan is moving in, when it's sin, involves sin in some way or another, things that are not honorable to God, divorce, this type of thing. But I want you to know that in this case, as far as you are concerned, being the offspring of Job in this sense, in the spiritual line, when this thing occurs, whether it's of God or of Satan, is really not the issue here. Because it is God who gave Satan this permission. It may be Satan who will bring it all about, but it's God who gave him permission. So it doesn't really matter whether what's happening to you is of God, what is happening to you is of Satan. The issue here is the testing of your faith, the testing of your love toward God, toward Jesus Christ. This is what is under siege. This is what is of great issue. So it is a test of Job's and yours and mine, love and faith. A test to continue, a test to challenge the endurance of your faith. In your love, even though everything that is happening to you is unexplainable and it looks as though God has completely abandoned you, will you continue to trust? Will you continue to love? You continue to trust God and believe that whatever is going on in the spiritual warfare, that, here's your principle, that that God is working all these things together for good, for His glory and your benefit. It may not seem that way right now, but this is our faith. This is where faith comes in. We, under the power of the Holy Spirit, pull such promises as Romans 8:28. All of these things going on. But I am going to continue. I don't understand. I don't understand how taking everything away is going to cause good. God use it for good. But you see, this is going to be one of the great lessons Job learns. It's not for you and I to understand how all of this is going to happen. It is for you and I in the midst of this battle to continue in faith, to continue in love, even when there is no reason to continue in these things. So the issue is that God, the issue of our faith, is that God is working all these things together for good, for His glory, and for your benefit. Now, let me jump ahead, because I know it doesn't sound like it, but I do want to move through this a little faster. But watch what's going to happen. Job is under siege. Now, just take the Romans 8:28 principle, working all the things together for good. God is glorified before Satan that his servant Job continues to trust him no matter what happens here. Now, Job will fail in the next siege. I'm dealing with the first siege and lay the groundwork for the second. And it is going to result, ultimately, in Job being unbelievably blessed at the end of the chapter, at the end of the book. In the 42nd chapter. So this is tough, to trust God that He's going to work everything to good when in the middle of it, everything in your life is falling apart. And it is tough to trust that God is in control. And if He's in control, see what we quickly do. All right, if He's in control, then we have that why. Why is He doing this then? And then we have how long is this going to go on? Why and how? What you and I have to do is to continue to function in that faith. All right, point seven. So the test is to continue to trust God, continue to love God, and I'm going to add love Christ, no matter how severe that love is tested. Continue to love God, love Christ, no matter how severe that love is tested. There's nothing like when your love is tested. There is nothing that can parallel, people, inside of our soul. There is nothing like when our love is tested. Nothing like when our faith in God itself is tested. When your love is tested, this gets down to the real you. when God's love was tested, is he going to offer his son? When Jesus Christ's love tested, is he going to offer himself on the cross? And your love tested, are you going to stay with God even when there's no reason to? Continue to love, continue to worship God. Now, in verses 13 through 19, we have the disaster, the suffering of Satan call his name. We're going to read through it and then just note a few things in it. But let me give you some things to look for. One, I want you to note the exhilarating doom. I'm just going to give you these things and move on. We're not here to give a long study of Job here. Notice the exhilarating doom. I could never study the book of Job. It would take me through the rest of my life and part of my next life. So I won't try that, but I do want to occasionally take us back to it because there's so many things to learn from this great book. The exhilarating doom, and it will end on his family. In fact, I want you to notice, if you will, later when you go back and read this, how the order of the destruction is in reverse of the listing of the blessings at the first of the chapter. In other words, at first it lists his sons and daughters, they are the last to be destroyed. So it will be in a reverse order. Also notice that each messenger, after the first arrives, before the last one finishes his telling of the disaster. I mean, this is one. If you have that kind of a telephone where you're talking to someone and it's a beep in, and so you, all right, I got to go, and you hang up and you just push the button and you get the next one, that's what Job is doing. I mean, he's just going from one call to another. I quit answering the phone, except that they came up and were standing there before him. Also notice, each messenger is the sole survivor of disaster. I'm just pointing that out. There are a multitude of passages throughout the New Testament or the Old Testament about a sole survivor of disaster. That's not part of our study either. But I just want you to be aware of so many other things going on that we could really spend some time on in the conflict. Also notice the power of Satan. This is his power, demonstration of his power over man, group of men, over nature. All of these disasters are caused by the power of Satan over human and nature. And then I want you to note, and we could do an interesting study of this one also, the the pattern. Man, nature, man, nature. And I'll show you some of the things, just simply what some of these things will draw out to us. The Sabaeans, lightning. The Chaldeans, the whirlwind. We could also notice how all of these come from every compass, every degree on the compass, north, south, east, and west. I mean, all of this is hitting Job. It's not one. It's not just those dirty, rotten, raider Sabaeans. Never did like the Sabaeans. Always thought they were no good. But then it's the nature. And then it's the Chaldeans. And then it's nature again. I mean, who are you going to blame here? Who are you going to get excited about? Who's failing here? And it comes from every direction. Every direction this is hitting him. My God, there's no area here of escape. North, south, east, west, they're hitting me. So I want you to appreciate, to the degree that I can do it in one class, I want your emotions, your mind to understand everything that's going on. I'm trying to set a scene for you. Lad, the only survivor of these people. How they're happening in so many different ways, so many different directions, and so rapidly before him. All right, let's just read and get a feel of what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to do two things here. All right, let's read from verse 13. Now it happened on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them, everything's tranquil, everything's normal. And the Sabaeans attacked and took them, but they just didn't rob. They also slew the servants, the edge of the sword, they massacred. What a horrible sight this must have been. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, that's just a summary of what he was saying. He probably gave some very vivid descriptions. Remember that one servant that you really like that's been with you for a long time? Let me tell you what happened to him, Job. And then you should have seen him running, a couple of their children running, probably giving a very vivid report of what was going on. I want you to see and hear what Job's seeing and hearing. Verse 16. While he was still speaking, another servant also came and said, the fire of God, that's an idiom for lightning, fell down from heaven. What a lightning storm this must have been. And burned up the sheep and the serpents and consumed them. Now they're slaughtered and killed again, only this time it's by nature. It's not by the hand of some person or people, by the nature. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them. But that wasn't enough. They slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, son, this one tries to make it just to the tranquility. He's just trying to soothe Job and giving him the news. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house. Nothing wrong here. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness. And listen to this. You think this is an accident? And struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on all the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, what are you going to do in this? What are you going to do in this kind of suffering? What are you going to do in this kind of disaster? Is your love dependent upon God giving you these things? What is going to happen to your faith? What's going to happen between you? Now it's come down to you. It's come down to you and your relationship with God. It doesn't matter, Satan. Job's not even aware of that. It comes down to you and your relationship to God. What are you going to do? What is going to happen at this point in your life in regard to faith and in regard to love? Now, I did this, and it brought out some things that I don't normally see. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 13. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 13 with me in view of what just has happened to Job. And see if when you read this, even though you may be filled with the Spirit, your mind goes, yeah, right. I just lost my children. I just lost everything. And I'm supposed to have this toward people and you, God. Let's take a look at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. And is not arrogant. Does not act unbecoming. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Love is not provoked. Now, we haven't studied that one. We're getting back to it. I finished James 2. It is not provoked. It does not take into account wrong. Now, sometimes we read this in view of relationship with other people. Read this in view of your relationship with God. Read this in view of your relationship with God. Let's start at verse 5. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. With the truth. Not in details, but the truth. Now look at verse 7. Bearing in mind Job 1. There is all things. People have a lot of different discussions, and I'll come to it. For tremendous. Most people are familiar with what we've been studying in love, but it's these nebulous things that we're going to have a lot of fun in learning what love really is. And love isn't going to just leave you alone. Love is a very powerful force. It is the most powerful force for dealing with these kinds of things when you understand this. Look at verse 7. Bears all things. You have a clue from reading Job 1:13 and following now. You have a clue of this. Love bears all things. Believe all things. We'll find out what that means. Hope all things. And look at this one. Endures all things. Love never fails. Now, we're going to study Job's love a little bit. Remember what Satan is saying. The only reason Job loves his God is because he gives him things. And now we're just taking a look and just in reading of what love is. Now, let's go back and note some of these things that's testing Job's faith, that's testing Job's love and his loyalty of faith to God. Verse 13, the sin again is shifted to the earth, and it says, now it happened on the day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. It just happened on a day. No warning. I'm just going to go through it very quickly. We're going to finish this session tonight. No warning. The day started like any other day. Job had absolutely no clue that this day would be difficult. Job was completely unaware what had transpired in the heavens, just as you and I are. Have no idea what transpired. This day was not unlike any other day. They are drinking. They are festive. The stocks are where they're supposed to be, as we saw. Everything's in order. Verses 14 and 15. So quickly, Job's empire changes. His entire life is about to change. Now, the scene started out at the home of one of his sons, the oldest son, and then quickly shifts back to Job's home. Look, verse 14. And a messenger came to Job. By the way, the word for messenger is in the Hebrew can be word angel, just as the Greek word for messenger can be angel. And whether it's a man or an angel depends on context. Here we know that it is human, a servant. That a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. This is a normal structure in the society. This is early winter when all of these things occurred. I want you to notice that verses 13 and 14, how normal the scene of life is. This is the environment of the rapture. They will be giving and marriage and everything's going on. And then this thing is going to occur. Now we're here. Everything is going on in his life. When Satan calls your name, probably things are just moving very steadily in your life. And then these things start occurring. Verse 15, the Sabaeans attacked. And the Sabaeans attacked and took them. Here the word for attack, I'm not going to get into the Sabaeans. It's not, that would distract from my study. And I'll just tell you right up front, scholars will debate on who they are anyway. So I'm not cheating you out of any dogma. We're debating on who they are. It doesn't even really matter. The Sabaeans attack. The word to attack here is what's important in this verse. The word means to fall upon suddenly. To fall upon, to attack. To harm, here to steal. And it quickly is going to occur. But they did not stop with stealing. They had to add violence. So added to this is not only the loss of Job's property, but violence is now all around him. So the violence comes in. They slaughtered Job's workers. And murder is a very much part of Satan's strategy. Murder is so easy. It's an easy way to just solve the problem. This is what Satan's thinking is. If I just slaughter, murder, I take them out of existence. If I slaughter all the Jews, I solve my problem. If I kill the infant Jesus Christ, I solve my problem. This is the only way he knows. One of his primary ways is to slaughter. I alone have escaped. How? We don't know. It's not important. He's escaped to deliver this news. And just while he's telling this, the next one comes. Note the intensity. While he was still speaking. So you have to kind of put yourself in Job's position as to the escalation here. Another also came and said, the fire of God. This is a term of lightning. I could show you that in other passages. Just take my word for it. Other passages would verify. This refers to lightning. And this time, nothing is stolen. Man is not involved. It's strictly nature. And it struck both servant and stock. The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone escaped to tell you. There must have been one of those Oklahoma Plains lightning storms that just came in and went on through. All right, let's note a principle at this point. I want you to note the power of Satan before we get finished. I want you to note the power of Satan. First of all, Satan can so strongly influence men, not just one, by groups of people. He can influence a group of people, an entire band of people. He can motivate an entire, influence an entire nation to do his work. Here it will be the Sabaeans. Next it will be the Chaldeans. Later in history, the Egyptians, the Romans, the Syrians. Principle. Don't ever be shocked or surprise what people will do to you. When Satan is called your name, he will influence others. He will influence Job's three friends. He will influence others to add to your suffering. Don't let that add to your dilemma. Do not be surprised. Do not attack them. This is one thing Job will not do, is attack his three friends. And in fact, at the end of the book, he will ask for mercy on them. So don't be surprised what people will do. So often when people go through this, let me first of all say, at a time, when we're wrong and people say things to us, we really get angry and think that they're wrong in doing so. They're really not most of the time. But especially when you're not wrong and people are attacking, this really hurts. Now, what I would like this church to continue to be known by, reports get out about churches. George Meisinger and I talk about the reputation of this church. He's heard about this church for some time, and they've all been really wonderful reports. Great. Just a lot of things about this church, and I appreciate that. Don't add to anyone's dilemma. I don't care if they're wrong. I don't care if they're the one in the wrong. I don't care if they're the criminal, they are the homosexual, they are the one who has performed the infidelity, whatever it is. Don't add to the weight of it. Now, deal with it correctly in the realm of doctrine, in the realm of the leading of the Spirit. But don't go in with a self-righteous judgment. And then if you don't know, then by all means, don't assume to know. Like we read this several months ago, Elihu, figure of Christ, is going to sit on all three of Job's friends because he's going to say, you opened your mouth and you didn't even have an answer. So don't do that. Let that characterize your life. Whatever faults you may have, because we all have them, and whatever weaknesses you have, don't let this be one of them. To come down on someone else when they're in suffering, whether they deserve it or whether they do not deserve it, or you don't know all the facts. Just leave it alone. Leave it up to God. But I want you to note, for your knowledge, Satan can influence man. He uses believers to attack and add to your suffering. Principle. Satan can so motivate and influence the thinking of born-again believers that they become your enemy when you are under attack by Satan himself. He can actually influence people. So we've gone past the time. We'll complete this study tomorrow night. I'll leave you in Job's disaster. I was hoping to not leave you here, but leave you with that to think about it, and what you would do in regard to your faithfulness to God when these kinds of things happen in your life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so unaware as to the specifics of anything that happens in the invisible spiritual realm, yet on the other hand, Heavenly Father, we have more than enough information. What we need to do, Heavenly Father, is to apply these truths and these things that we know that are going on and apply them by faith in our own life and in the life of those around us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue to give us the enlightenment of your word that we might have full understanding of your relationship with Satan and your relationship with us and Satan's relationship with us, that we might fulfill our purpose in the short time we have on earth. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.